podcast for Evangel University. Evangel actually means good news, and we want to share good news with you about the incredible ways our alumni, students, and friends are changing the world. I'm Hector Cruz, joined by my co-host Kate Alsup, and we work in the University Advancement Office at Evangel University in Springfield, Missouri. Before introducing our guests, we'd like to send out a thank you to the Assemblies of God Credit Union for sponsoring this podcast. Founded by Assemblies of God employees in 1951, AGCU provides day-to-day banking services for people across the United States and missionaries in 190 countries worldwide. From checking and savings accounts to auto and mortgage loans, when you bank with AGCU, you're helping support church and ministry, educational scholarships and programs, and humanitarian efforts locally and worldwide.
Our guest today is Mrs. Sharon Wilkins. Sharon is a graduate of Evangel University, professor emeritus at Evangel University, and she is a recipient of a 2021 Tree of Honor. Sharon, I'd like to spend some time getting to know you. So tell us first, where were you born?
Wichita, Kansas.
Awesome. Tell us about your family, siblings, mom and dad.
I am a middle child. I have an older brother who was 5 years older and who was my idol my entire life until he passed away 3 years ago. I have a sister who is 20 months younger than I am. And my parents were from the Depression era, so they were very hardworking, conservative, and family-centered. They had become Christians a few years before I was born, and they lived their faith completely and consistently. My brother, Stan Ramsey, began piano lessons when he was 8 years old. Our piano teacher, Miss Monroe, an amazing 4 foot, 9 inch black lady who came to our house for lessons, and I was 3 at the time. And I am told that when Miss Monroe left, I played my brother's lessons. Thinking that I was ready for lessons because of playing everything by ear, my parents started my lessons when I was 4. Obviously, I could not read, and so the left to right eye motion was not habitual at that time. And so I quit taking lessons, but continued playing by ear until I was 8 years old, and that's when I started piano lessons.
Wow, so you knew how to play the piano before you started taking lessons. That's amazing.
Yeah. A friend of ours tells me that she took me to her mother's house one time, and I was 5, and I sat down at the piano and played, it's a funeral song that we never sang in our church. And she asked me where I had heard that. And she said, you played it with complete harmony. And I said, well, I heard it at my Aunt Ruth's funeral. And she was amazed. So she told me that story many times after,
wow,
I became an adult.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What year did you graduate from Evangel?
1965.
So you're one of our pioneers.
Yes, except that I'm not old.
I totally agree. Totally agree. For those that don't know, our pioneers are anybody who attended Evangel within the first 10 years of our founding, 1955 to 1965.
And what was your major? What degree did you get?
Well, that's interesting because I came here wanting to major in piano performance. And there was no piano performance degree. It was only music education. And actually, I didn't come here my first year. I went to CBC my first year, which I had not planned to do. It's amazing how God directs your path.
Yeah.
And you only see it in retrospect. I was registered to go to Wichita State University and study music. And my parents came here to see my brother, who had come back to get a master's degree at CBC. And they insisted that I come for the weekend, even though I had just gotten a job that I liked. And I said, I don't want to ask off. And my dad said, well, I'll call and ask off for you. So I said, no, that's okay. I'll ask off. So I came, and my brother, who was Revival Time pianist for many years, he's on most of the albums, he told me that they were auditioning for organist. And he wanted me to audition. And so I said, well, okay, doesn't hurt anything to audition. And there were 10 people who auditioned that year. That would not happen today by any means.
Yeah.
But even before I knew that I made it, I decided that I wanted to stay here and I would go to school 1 year at CBC, and then I would transfer to Wichita State because I could be here and go to school with my brother. And so in the spring, I was asked to come and record the Evangel Echoes album with the concert choir here at Evangel. And Hope Collins was the new director, and she was phenomenal. I had heard the concert choir at a youth convention when I was in high school, and they were awful. And that's why I didn't want to come to Evangel, because I came from a very good choral program in my high school. And when I heard the choir after Hope Collins came, it was amazing. And so after I recorded with them, I was still thinking I would go back to Wichita State. And then they called me in about 2 or 3 weeks and asked if I would travel with the Melotones Trio that summer for Evangel. So actually, I traveled for the school recruiting for Evangel before I ever went here.
Yeah. And,
so
and
it's interesting.
You did that while you were attending CBC, is that right?
Well, CBC, I just went 1 year, and that was my intention. And I had taken all classes that would transfer.
Sure.
But so that year, I had a 3-week tour through the West Coast, up into Western Canada, and back to Springfield with Revival Time. And then I flew to meet the Melotones Trio in Louisiana. And we traveled all over the East, Southeast, East Coast, Eastern Canada, and back. And we even spent a week in Jamaica.
Oh, my word.
And so I was Evangel by that time.
You really had no choice at that point.
And I came to Evangel, and actually one of the girls in the trio suggested to then a nobody to me, but later my husband, that he might ask me out. She thought he would like me. And
she was right.
She was right. And yeah. We went to a football game. And I still remember Parkview and Neosho football game with another couple from Evangel.
That's great.
And 2 years later, we were married.
Wow. I love that.
Yeah.
I love hearing the history of how people found out about Evangel, how they came to Evangel, and just made such an impact.
Yeah, I didn't realize I would be traveling for Evangel for many, many years.
Many, many
when
years.
When I traveled with the Melotones Trio.
And so you taught for many years, which we'll get into a little bit later. Led our music education program, also ended up being one of the leaders of our concert choir as well for many years.
Yes. 31 years.
31 years. And I'm looking forward to hearing more stories about that. Now you are retired, right?
Yes.
And Professor Emeritus. So what are some hobbies that you have now in your retirement?
Well, mostly with music. I teach piano to students. I don't have too many right now. A couple of them moved, and the 4 girls that I still have left, I have not sought any of them. It wasn't like I set out to set up a business. But this year has been really, really different, obviously. I still do the music, Evangel Temple Choir, and we have Evangel Temple Choir and Orchestra, and we sing and do work every Sunday. And I've worked with the youth choir, and we didn't have one this year because of COVID. It was so hard to get people together to rehearse. And so, but I've worked with the youth choir and taken them to Fine Arts Festival every year, and also the children's choir. And when we get back to a regular schedule, I'll plan the special music for the service too. And I was longtime director for the Messiah Project.
Okay.
And traveled all over the world with Messiah Project and did the Heritage of Hymns here for many years. And so that's basically how I've filled my time.
So let me ask you this. Do you have any hobbies that are not music related?
Not really.
Yeah.
Not really. I had a home economics major in high school and went clear through tailoring class and never sew anything. I never even do a hymn.
There you go, yeah.
But music is really, well, teaching 50 years, teaching music 50 years.
It's your calling.
It's my calling.
And when you're operating in your calling, there's nothing else that you'd want to do.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's my calling and it's my hobby. And it's my life, and it's been livelihood,
right?
And it's my ministry.
All of those things.
All of those things. And the whole time I was teaching public school, I never felt less of a minister standing behind a music stand than a pastor in the pulpit.
And I think that's the ethos of Evangel
yes.
that has drawn so many over the years, is that there's no calling that's less than.
Exactly.
That we are all called.
And I want to say something about those early years. We knew that Evangel was extraordinary. Mm. And when the Accrediting Association came in and got copies of our tests, and they had to keep copies of all of our papers that we wrote, and I mean, my understanding is the summation was that they were way too hard on the quality of students they had here, because the quality of students was so high. And but we left here, and I think one reason there are so many high achievers in that first 10 years is that we left here knowing we had to prove to the world that our education was just as good as anybody else's. And we did. And the first job I applied for out of Evangel, I was told they were not hiring a woman. And I didn't go rioting downtown because I was a woman and I'd been turned down.
Yeah.
I just determined in my heart, I'll show them.
Yeah.
And so I went to a little school, little tiny school, and they had a band. And this is what they were saying, they wouldn't hire a woman to teach a band in this one. Well, I had never played in a band, except the little band that we had here. We had to take all the instruments. We had to learn them. And we would play in this little band that we called a lab band. My pet name for it was the stupid lab band. Didn't get any credit for it, but if we didn't go, the grade came off of our applied major.
Mm.
And so I thought it was such a waste of time. I wanted to be doing what I loved, practicing piano and voice. And when I first got out and I was going to teach band, I was ready to kiss the feet of the faculty.
That had the stupid lab band.
They knew better than I did what I needed.
That's great.
And we did marching. Obviously, if I had never been in a band, I had never marched either.
Yeah.
So I checked every book out in Springfield and at MSU on marching bands and read them. I would lie awake at night counting steps and doing a new inversion and a new corner and way that we could march. We didn't have football, so it was all parade.
Mm.
And we entered 3 marching competitions and won every one of them. Even the MSU homecoming parade.
Wow.
We won. And I thought, you know, this is the way to show people that a woman can teach band.
Right.
And the school that didn't hire me because I was a woman, we just beat them.
Yeah, there you go.
And so I think that kind of competitive spirit and approving our education was part of our early years, because we knew what we had. And that's kind of the way my career started.
That's awesome. That's great.
I want to say one more thing.
Yeah.
Every day I drove 25 miles, and I had to drive past Willard High School. And I had applied there, and they had called me and told me on a Friday, well, we've had 8 interviews, and so far you are the number one choice. But we think it's only fair to tell you that there's a woman coming tomorrow who has a master's degree and 8 years experience. And so every day I drove by that high school, and it didn't occur to me until later that would have been professional suicide if I had gotten that job straight out of the gate. And I got that job later.
Yeah.
And was able to build a program that was number one in the state in many areas. And if I had gotten it my first year, that wouldn't have happened. This is one of the things I shared with the students. You have to prove yourself where you're planted.
Mm.
And then you look for, the only reason I left there, I loved it. Little tiny school, 250 kids, but I had all of them, and I had every student in the school, which again is a wonderful ministry. If you have every student in the school, they're a captive audience.
Yeah.
And the only reason I quit was that my husband went to the military and we went to Germany.
Wow.
And here I am sitting in Germany wishing I was in Little Everton for a while, and prayed for a teaching job. And I went to see the principal, and he said, well, you have a music education degree. I have 9 teachers ahead of you for subbing who are elementary education. So I said, well, okay, God, that door closed. We were living in a little tiny apartment on the efficiency, and living on nothing, practically. We had a dollar and a half a day for food.
Wow.
But my husband made rank fast. We qualified to move on base for housing that had been previously officers' quarters. It was excessive. And wouldn't you know it, God put me next door to the school. Fourth floor. I would stand there and look at those classrooms and wish I could be there. And he got rank, he made rank fast, and he was making quite a bit more money. And then I got called and asked to teach GIs at night, English, math, and reading. And so I did that, and it was a government contract, so it paid very well. Well, then I got called because I lived next door, when I said, just happened to be next door. When I got called in the middle of the day, because a teacher had gotten sick, and they knew I lived next door, so I went in to substitute. It happened again. Mm. And by that time, I had signed my second contract to teach at night with the GIs. I had a note from the principal saying, come see me at the end of the day. And he asked me if I would want to teach full time. But in the meantime, I had been going over and teaching middle school music, and even did a sixth grade musical. We did Camelot when I wasn't even on staff. Just volunteer. And I had a piano by that time. I was taking German lessons every morning. Thought if I'm going to live in the country, I'm going to know the language. And so I was taking German every morning and then teaching kids who got out of school and came right to my house to take piano lessons. So, you know, when I got there in August and was so upset that I had nothing to do and we had no money, that by Christmas, I wrote in our Christmas letter, don't ask God for a job unless you're willing to work 24 hours a day. Because then I was teaching full-time kindergarten, piano lessons after school, and GIs at night.
Wow.
Who hadn't finished their GED. And we were doing a choir in the Baptist church where we were going. It was a missionary Baptist where people from all denominations were there. And it was a very good choir. We were all on the same boat in the military. So in the meantime as well, we weren't struggling financially, and they had a gold flow program. It was called gold flow because they didn't want us spending all the American dollars on the German market. Mm. And so we decided, well, we would just save everything Phil made. And again, he had made rank fast. And we would live on one of my checks, and we would travel and buy things on the other check. That's what we did. And we bought a lot of souvenirs, but we were in 15 different countries while we were traveling there. And when we came home, we had sold the mobile home that we lived on campus with, and that bought our car. We had put it in a CD. That bought our car, and we paid cash for all of our furniture, including a grand piano, and paid 25% down on a beautiful, all-brick, three-bedroom, lovely home. We looked back. You know, you have to look back sometimes and see where the Lord's brought you from.
Yeah.
And when we thought we were struggling and the worst thing that could happen to us, why are all our friends home? They're buying homes. They're keeping their salaries, and we're over here starving.
Yeah.
And the Lord, when we came home, they all had second mortgages. And we were able to pay 25% down and have this beautiful home. So anyway, that's the way God blesses you when you follow His direction.
And when you follow your calling that He's given you.
And you follow your calling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, we by being tied down on the weekends with directing a choir over in Germany, we limited ourselves somewhat. But we still learned to ski and did skiing weekends.
And 15 countries. I mean, that's an amazing experience.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we ran into evangel graduates over there.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm not surprised.
The first weekend we were there, we went on a picnic in Garmisch-Partenkirchen. And I was speechless. I looked up and saw a couple of grads who were in our class walking across the street. So we ended up, they were just in Munich and we were in Augsburg, 30 miles apart. So we got together for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Awesome.
Then we got acquainted with missionaries that came over. And the missionaries, Bob Mackish and Bob Crabtree, they were in language school, and I had already been studying German, and so we got together with them all the time too. And then there was another graduate from Gary Eisenhower, who was from here, who was in Munich also.
The evangel community is
strong. And then George Crawford was in Heidelberg.
Yes.
So wow. One time when we were taking a trip, I think to Spain or somewhere, we spent the night with them and caught our flight the next morning from there. So we evangel is everywhere.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Life looks different right now for all of us, and AGCU makes life a little easier by providing trusted services beyond their branches. Their member care representatives offer personal account support over the phone, and with mobile banking, you can deposit checks and transfer funds from anywhere. Their handy mobile money app helps you protect and control your debit card, and you can pay bills and view monthly statements with online banking. These services are free, and they're for you every day. AGCU is federally insured. Visit agcu.org to learn more.
So, Sharon, how did your college experience shape you?
My college experience shaped me in ways that I would never have planned for myself, actually. I came here wanting to major in piano performance. And I had heard the Ralph Carmichael Orchestra and other Christian orchestras, and I thought, that's what I want to do. I want to perform with those orchestras and possibly symphonies. But Evangel didn't have a piano performance degree. The only degree we had at that time was music education. And so, okay, I'll do music education. And Dr. Peterson assured me that with having a full junior recital and a full senior recital, I would be prepared for graduate school, which would be required anyway for a performance degree. So I went through all the classes and did the student teaching. And in the meantime, we got married after my junior year. My husband graduated a year ahead of me. And he had a good job here in Springfield, so the natural thing to do was for me to look for a job. And so that's when I applied to teach. Mm. And in my second year of teaching, I realized this is my calling. First year was rough, and I told music education students, that, you know, your first year, you're finding your way. And even though you are well prepared, there are still going to be issues that come up that you've never, ever contemplated. And so don't get discouraged during your first year of teaching. Because in my second year, I realized this is where I belong. Mm. And I never, as I told you, I never doubted this is where God wanted me. And in the meantime, I started developing in my mid-40s osteoarthritis in my hands. I look at my hands and I thank God. Because if I had gotten to be a piano performer like I thought I wanted to be, I wouldn't have been able to play for the last 10, 15 years. And that was another confirmation.
Wow.
That God had directed my path here by closing the door to what I thought I wanted. And I after my second year of teaching, I never looked back. I loved every year. And I would tell my students, even here, and I can't tell you I loved every day. And I can't tell you I loved every week.
Or that you loved every student.
Well, no, I really did love my students.
Of course.
I genuinely loved my students.
That's awesome.
And I'm still in contact with probably 1,000 of them on Facebook.
Sure.
And I run into them all the time and keep in touch. And I just know that there's no shadow of a doubt in my mind that teaching is where God put me.
Well, and I love that perspective, too, that you could have been bitter about, mm-hmm. you know, your hands mm-hmm. and that issue. But to have the awareness to look back and say, thank you, Lord, mm-hmm. for putting me in this place. Mm-hmm. is just so such a level of spiritual maturity. Mm-hmm. I hope that you know, we're able to be able to get to that place as well.
I talked to my youth choir about this with one of the songs we were singing about I feel safe in the Father's hands. And I used to tell my students here that I prayed every morning on my way to school, Lord, help me touch some life today. Use me today. And then sometimes when he did, it was not convenient. So be careful. Don't pray that if you don't mean it.
Yeah.
For God use you, because he will. And at the end of the day, you go home and say, wow, I didn't realize at the moment, but God created a situation.
God answered that prayer.
He did. He answered my prayer. Yeah. So don't pray it if you don't mean
that's
it.
That's right. Well, that's a common theme, I think, because I hear that applied to when you guys went to Germany.
Yes.
And you got there and prayed, Lord, what am I going to do? By the end of that fall, he gave you plenty to do.
Yes, he did. Yes,
be
he
careful
did.
What you pray for.
Well, and the way we got jobs after that is that we had prayed, okay, we've kind of cut our ties with Springfield. And my brother was in California, and there was a school there that was wanting me to come. And there was a man who had been here at Evangel who went to pastor a church in Winston-Salem. And he had wanted us to come and for me to do music at his church. And then we got drafted. And so he wrote us a letter, and he said, I think it's about time for you to get out of the military, and we still would like to have you on the music, and there are lots of insurance companies here where Phil could get a job. So, we thought about it, and we said, well, you know, let's just pray for something that is so out of the blue that we'll know unmistakably it's God. Well, my sister called me at 3 o'clock in the morning, Germany time, and said that Stratford Schools had an opening for music, and they had run all my references. I hadn't applied. I didn't know there was an opening. They had run all the references. And were willing to hire me sight unseen if I wanted to take the job. And one of the references had told them my sister lived here, so that's how they got a hold of her. She got a hold of me. So at 3 o'clock in the morning, we said, well, isn't this what we prayed for?
That's kind of out of the blue, I would say.
Way out of the blue. Nothing we had contemplated. And so we said, okay, I'll do it. They would send me the contract, and I signed it and sent it back. Well, that meant I had a job, but it didn't mean Phil had a job.
Sure.
State Farm had to rehire him because he was drafted. But they didn't have to rehire him here if there wasn't an opening. And within a week, he got a letter from State Farm, and I get chills saying this, from State Farm saying, our records show you are going to be getting out of the military in October. We have an opening here in Springfield if you want to take it. So within a week, we both had jobs that neither of us had sought.
Wow.
So there was no question, this is what we were supposed to do.
I love that.
I think something that also stands out to me about your story and your husband's story is that no one's calling took precedence over the other.
Right.
That you were both called by the Lord into work, and you both took that very seriously, and nobody either ever expected the other to not pursue their calling, so
right.
that it always went hand in hand.
Right.
And I think that sometimes that's rare for
yes.
a couple to be able to
yes.
do that. But I love that about your story, that
mm-hmm.
you both took so seriously that you each had a calling, and then you had a joint calling as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when I accepted the job at 3 o'clock in the morning, we just had to trust that God has something for Phil, too. And certainly he did, within a week. And, you know, he could have strung us along for 2 or 3 weeks.
Sure.
But he answered our prayer immediately. And the same thing happened when we came home from Atlanta for me to go to teach here. Phil had gone to Atlanta as the regional assistant regional director for American National. And he was going to be working all over the Southeast. And so I was not really excited to leave Willard because I had such an extremely good program going there. But I got a job as well at a large high school, and it was amazing. It was the largest school district in the Southeast, also the highest paying school district in the Southeast. And so we were doing well. And after 1 year, his position was abolished. And
then you were not doing well.
No. I was loving being in Atlanta. I was singing with Robert Shaw. I had a wonderful high school and great students. And again, doing wonderful work at contests and getting awards. And winning Six Flags music festivals and stuff. And I wasn't really ready to move, but my husband said, well, if we stay here, it's not because it's what I want to do. He said, I made the last decision, and it turned out to not be so good. Well, Evangel called me and wanted me to come here. And I wasn't sure I really wanted to do that, because I knew that I was fulfilling my calling in the high school. And I came to talk to Dr. Pickett, and I said, you know, I would be a fool to not know that I'm successful where I am. I had half the high school in my classes at Willard, and a high percentage there with the large school. I would be a fool to not know that. And I'm not sure that I know that I'm a minister to the kids who are not Christians as well as kids who are Christians.
Right.
I'm not sure I could have that impact here. And his words to me were, we want you to come here, build a fire under our music education students so they can go out and do what you've done, and you will multiply your ministry. He said, if you can send 10 kids out a year to do what you've done, you will have multiplied your ministry.
So, a good selling point.
Yeah.
That did it.
Yeah.
So I called Phil, and he said, well, how do you feel? And I told him how much of a cut in pay I was going to take, that was going to be a lot. And I said, you know, it wouldn't matter if it was $50,000 a year I was losing. And at that time, that was a lot of money.
Yeah. Still is. Oh. let the record show.
This is what we're supposed to do. Yeah, my husband had a job, but he didn't like the job. And so he had come here, and he had talked with Evelyn Sample, who owned an insurance company her husband had, and he had died. And Phil had found out that he had died, and he came and talked to her about buying the business. She said, you know, her husband had been sick and had not really built the business at all. He had just kind of maintained. And I talked to her when I was here. She said, I don't think you guys can live on it. I said, well, I'm teaching too, but of course I'm taking a big, huge cut in pay. And so he had asked her about buying the business, but we hadn't heard anything from her. I got back to Atlanta from Springfield on a Thursday. On Sunday afternoon, Walter Solomon, pastor of Grace Methodist Church, called. And he said, Sharon, I hear you're moving back to Springfield, and I'm needing a music director. Name your price. We will pay you whatever you ask. And I got off the phone. I was numb. I told my husband, you know, God asked us to just step out in faith.
Yeah.
And then he comes right under us and says, no, I'm not going to leave you floating.
That's right.
And it happened within 3 days. And so I kind of calculated what I needed to kind of make up some of the difference, and no problem. And Evangel moved us here, and Beacon's Moving Company was in our house, moving us out. And Mrs. Sample called, and she said, Phil, I was on the phone all night. Oh, no, I was in the prayer all night as to who should buy this business, because there were 9 other people who were trying to buy it. And the Lord told me, you're supposed to have it. And we both looked up, and I said, God, you played this one a little close. But then when we came here, and we had a beautiful home in Atlanta that sold within the month after he lost his job. We never made another payment on it. So obvious how God had orchestrated our steps.
And you can
have
that perspective now looking back.
Absolutely.
That builds your faith.
It was awful then.
But then people listening, it builds their faith.
Yes,
too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Many times we don't see God's faithfulness in the moment. We only see God's faithfulness in the rearview mirror.
Mm.
As we reflect on what he's brought us through, then we see his faithfulness.
So this question is a bit hard to imagine, but if you hadn't done music and the music career that you had, what would you have done?
Well, actually, I went all the way through high school wanting to be a nurse. So I took all the math and science classes, and it was because of a lady that was in our church who was a nurse, And I idolized her. And she would take me sometimes. She was a nurse's student, and she would take me. I spent the night in her dorm, and I thought that's what I really wanted to do. And, you know, it's another way that God closed the door. I took the National League of Nurses test. And mind you, the last math class I took, and I majored in math and science, I had a 98.5 average for the year. I took the National League of Nurses test, and I came out of there saying, that thing was so simple. Well, I didn't pass the math test.
That's a closed door, I'd say.
Well, I missed it by one or two points, and they said, you can retake it. But at that point, I think I knew in my spirit, this is not where God wants me to be. Mm. And when my mother was in the hospital seriously ill for 89 days, I realized I could have done this. And I understood what they were talking about. Mm-hmm. When I had breast cancer, that was the same kind of a thing. They thought I was in the medical community. I said, no, I just did my homework.
Yeah.
But that's another way that God closed that door, because he had a better door for me that fitted me. And one of the reasons I decided not to go for it was I still wanted to do music in church. And I finally realized nurses work on the weekends.
Sure, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I want to be a nurse, and I can still do music because I'll do it in church. Well, I won't be able to do church all the time. And church is my, music is my first love. So I decided that's a closed door.
Yeah. Well, this has been an awesome conversation, so I hesitate to say that this next part is my favorite part. It's all been great, but this is a fun part, is when we get to play a little game called Two Truths and a Lie.
Mm-hmm.
So you give us three things, two of them true, one of them a lie, and Kate and I will try to use our evangel skills to determine what's true and what's a lie.
Okay.
So, number one.
My dad nailed my finger to the porch.
That sounds horrible. Okay, number two.
My students performed for three U.S. presidents.
Okay. Okay, and number three.
I was named an outstanding young woman in America in Springfield twice.
Say that again, an outstanding
young woman in America.
Okay.
And in Springfield. Okay. Twice.
Well, you did not make it easy on us, that's for sure.
Like always, these all seem like they could be true.
Yeah. Okay. I think I know what I'm
going to...
I think what I'm going to say is that it's true that your dad nailed your finger to the porch.
Uh-huh.
It's true, and don't tell us the right answer yet.
I won't.
It's true that you were named Outstanding Young Woman twice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it's false that your students performed in front of three presidents, you said, because I'm going to say it was more than three. But that's why I'm going to say that one is the lie.
Yeah, Hector, I think you've got it. So I'm going to put my faith in you.
That's a dangerous thing to do. All right.
I'm going to say that as well.
Okay. What's...
The one that was false.
Is it?
We only performed for two presidents.
Two. Okay. All right. Which two?
Vice president.
Okay.
Reagan and Bush.
Reagan and Bush.
Which Bush?
George W.
And which vice president?
Dick Cheney. And we performed for Ronald Reagan. My high school kids did.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And he, in fact, used our microphones. It was very interesting what you had to go through with background checks.
Oh, I'm sure.
Every student had to submit parents' social security numbers,
wow,
birth dates, all of that.
I did not know that.
Wow.
That's intense.
That is intense.
The students even couldn't come in unless that was all.
Mm-hmm.
We all had to be smelled down by a dog.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's even more now. I'm sure they have.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
All well, sorts of protocols
they have all that
now.
Stuff on us already anyway, let's be honest. So.
Yeah, they do now.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. This has been so fun. And again, congratulations on being a recipient of one of this year's Trees of Honor.
Thank you.
Very well deserved.
Thank
and
you.
Excited to celebrate at Homecoming this year. Quick plug for Homecoming, October 22nd through 23rd. You can register online and join us for the celebration of Sharon's Tree of Honor. So Appreciate you joining us. Thank you all for listening to Your Calling, our podcast. Until next time, I'm Hector Cruz.
And I'm Kate Alsup. And don't forget to share the good news.
And be the good news. God bless.